Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
I'm having a bit of cold. If my voice is not audible, let me know so that I can be a little bit louder. Once again, happy Australian Day for all the Australian friends. And for our Indian friends, it's Republic Day. Happy Republic Day. And those who are not Australian Indian, so who are Christians, it's a happy Lord's Day. It's a Lord's Day. So we celebrate Lord's Day on every Sunday because Lord has paid a full debt of our sin on the cross of Calvary. He rose again, and we are celebrating His victory. So we are victorious in Him. He's more than we are, more than conquerors. Yeah, we on this day, like in Martin Place, there's a memorial for those who lay down life for the country, like Australian country. They are standing with their guns, and is a word written on them, lest we forget. So, and also in India, we remember the soldiers, those who have sacrificed their lives to protect our country, so that we may live in a safe country. And Lord's Day, as a children of Lord, His children, we remember how He laid down His life, and we offer our sacrifices, our thanksgiving unto Him, so that He has given us a life, and a life which bring forth fruits unto Him. So for today's meditation, let's turn our Bibles to Psalms 92. You must be wondering what happened to Abraham. So
he's still there.
Yeah, he's there. So for this week, I want to, there was a burden in my heart to share this scripture. So I'm a bit diverting from the life of Abraham to this scripture portion. Psalm 92. Verse 12 to 15, let's all of us read together. Psalms 92, verse 12 to 15. When we read, let's read it with understanding and prayer so that Lord may speak to us through this scripture portion. Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, there is no unrighteousness. Loving Heavenly, gracious Father, thank you, Lord, that have given us a boldness and confidence through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary, and He broken down the wall between the most holy place and the holy place, and given us an entrance through His body. Father, thank you for saving us and giving us a great salvation, and Father, making us a righteous. You have imputed Your righteousness on us, and You have justified us, oh Father. Thank you, Lord, as we are walking in this Christian journey. Father, Thou art helping us, and You are giving us sufficient grace to walk in this Christian life, and then grow to know You more and to grow in You, Father. Thank You, Lord, for the scripture portion which we have read. Father, help us to understand it, and oh Father, especially hide me behind Thy cross. Oh Father, I am weak, I am foolish, not worthy, oh Father, but Father, I seek Thy grace. Hide me behind Thy cross and help me, oh Father, so that Your name may be glorified, oh Father. Bind the powers of darkness. Father, all of us are, Father, tired. Father, our thoughts are wandering. We bring all of them into Your captivity. Father, we bring, Father, every thought, every knowledge, every, Father, thing which is above Your, Father, knowledge, O Father, into Thy captivity. We bind the powers of darkness, we came their victory. Thou art only minister unto us, speak unto us, so that we may grow and we may bring forth fruit unto You, Father. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray.
Amen.
Last Sunday, soon after the church, one of the brother came to our house to visit uncle and auntie, as they are living in the first week of February. And he shared these words. He just read that verse to encourage them. And there was, from that time onwards, it was in my heart, what's the actual meaning of this scripture portion. So I started meditating this verse all through the week, and to understand what Lord is ministering to me. So same thing I'm ministering unto you, so that all of us may be benefited. So the scripture portion which touched me was verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. I was wondering why psalmist's name is not mentioned here, but he says the psalm or song for the Sabbath day, at the Lord's day. So he is comparing the righteous with the palm tree. What's the specialty in the palm tree? So if you see the in the Bible, to explain the simple spiritual truth, Lord used parables, sometimes metaphors, sometimes illustrations to help us understand what's the meaning of that, spiritual meaning of that actual thing. So there are a lot of parables, around more than 40 parables are there, which tells about the tree, or the parables about the tree, which gives a spiritual meaning to us. But more than in Psalm itself, we can find 12 parables about the tree. One of the first chapter I memorized when I was a child was Psalm 1. It speaks about the tree which is planted by the riverside, how righteous will be. So still I can remember like that psalm in my language, not in English. So that's the first psalm. Whenever like in my young age also, like if I go astray or somebody tempts me, or there is a temptation, that psalm used to minister unto me. It's not to sit, not to stand, not to walk in the way of unrighteous. The psalm, the book of Psalms starts with the parable of tree, like we should be like the tree planted by the riverside. We should give forth in all times. And also if you read Psalm 58:8, psalmist compares himself with one of the tree. Do you guess what's the tree that? Which tree is that? I think 52:8. Psalm 52:8.
But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God.
Yeah, I trust in the mercies of God forever and ever. Yeah. Psalm 52, verse 8. See, here psalmist is a psalm of David. He is writing that he is comparing himself with the olive tree in the house of God. It's a tree which grows in the house of God, which flourishes, which grows abundantly. So not only Lord has given us a new life, he doesn't want us to live a just life, but life which grows and which brings forth fruit, which brings blessing to others. So that's how here the psalmist compares himself with the olive tree. Coming back to our portion 92, Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14, here I try to look on the way, like Google, Wikipedia, what's a palm tree, what's the significance, and all those stuff. When you see the secular nations during the time of Israel in Mediterranean and the Eastern countries, like in Asia, ancient Egypt, they treated a palm tree as an symbol for the immortality, like everlasting life. If anybody dies in Egyptian culture, as you know, they build the mummies. In that mummies, they'll put a branch of a palm tree. So it signifies the immortality. And come to the Judea nation, they celebrate the feast of Sukkot. They will cut the branches of a palm tree, and they build a feast of tabernacles. And they live in the booths. It signifies that they were in a captive, and the Lord brought them out of that captive to celebrate the redemption. It's a victory. When you come to the ancient Greek, they treat that as an sign of victory. If there is a competition, like as the Australian Open is going on, when a person or a woman's singles final, if they win, they will get a cup or a remuneration. And men's also, they will get same wise. In the olden days, in the Greece, they will get the leaf of a palm branch as a sign of victory. And in Romans, they treated it as a sign again of a triumph and victory. If a lawyer wins his case in forum, like a court, then he will decorate his front door with the palm tree branches. So it is a sign of victory. As we read in the scripture portion, Bible also, it typifies or it shows it's a sign of victory. The first mention of palm tree in Bible, do you know where it is? First mention of palm trees.
Jericho.
Uncle is saying. ఏముంది అంకుల్ 92:12
నీతిమంతులు ఖర్జూర వృక్ష వలె
ఖర్జూరపు చెట్లు
మీద దేవదార వలె
ఖర్జూరపు చెట్లు బైబుల్ ఎప్పుడు మొదటిసారి ప్రస్తావింపబడింది వెన్ ఫస్ట్ టైం ద పామ్ ట్రీ వాస్ మెన్షన్ అంకుల్ ఈస్ సెయింగ్ దట్ జెరికో ఈజ్ ఎ సిటీ ఆఫ్ పామ్ ట్రీస్ Last choice. It's
Abraham.
Any specific situation or?
When he wins the war and comes.
No. It's in the Exodus 15th chapter, 15th or 16th chapter, when they cross, they sang the song of redemption, then they. Reached a place where there is no water. They cried unto God, and they got an bitter water, no water to bitter water. They called the place called Marah, and they murmured against God to Moses. And when he prayed, God showed put a wood timber into the water, and it will become a sweet water. Then next they reached a place called Elim, where there is a 12 wells of water and 17 palm trees. 70 palm trees. So that's the first mention of, like, when they were in desert, they were in thirsty to continue to their destination or their pilgrimage. They need some water or refreshment. So they came to a place called Elim. So today morning I was wondering why 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, why that number is given. I was just, that thought came into my mind saying that when Joseph was in Egypt, 12 tribes came to Joseph. How many numbers were there?
70.
Now they are redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb, and they are on the way to Canaan. Now how many people are there? They're more than 5 lakhs. It must have been remembered them, the goodness of God or grace, graciousness of God, and how God blessed them and how he brought them out. So yeah, so palm tree was first mentioned in the Exodus 15 chapter. And as uncle has mentioned, it's a Jericho city, the city of palm. And also, when Solomon built the temple, he asked the person who is building the temple to carve on the walls the palm branches on the walls of the. Let's read it in the First King. First King, 6th chapter. Verse. Can somebody read it for me? First Kings 6.
On the two olive wood doors, he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid the cherubim and palm trees with beaten gold.
Yeah. There you can see Solomon has, or the Lord has given the instruction to Solomon how to build the temple, and Solomon has passed on that instruction to the designers or the constructors, those who are building the temple. He exclusively asked to build the palm trees on the walls of the temple and overlay with the gold. It signifies the victory victory of Lord Jesus Christ. And also, not only in the temple, the earthly temple, but when Ezekiel had a vision, he saw the temple that's going to be constructed. In the temple also, exclusively it mentioned that it has to be like palm trees has to be carved on the walls of the temple. So, again, it shows the victory which Christ Jesus has won, the cross of Calvary. And in the New Testament, when you come in John 12:13, when Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem in the last week, people were standing and praising God with the palm branches in their hands and praising Him, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to Most High God, Son of David. Also, in the last mention was in Revelation 7 chapter, where he sees the 12,000 from each tribe. Then he saw a multitude of people from all nations, and they were praising the God with their palm branches in their hands, and they were worshiping. Let's look that verse, because we are going to hold the palm branches, and we are going to praise Him victoriously. 7th chapter. Revelation 7 chapter, 9th verse.
After that I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands.
Yeah,
they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb."
Yeah, we can see the people from all over the world, those who are victorious, those who are saved by the precious blood of Christ Jesus, they are praising Him and worshipping for the salvation which they obtained. And then they ask who is the person, then they explain that these are the people who were victorious during the time of tribulation. Yeah, so it shows the victorious life. We have seen some background about the palm trees. There are 300 different species of palm trees are there in this world. Like I used to hear when I was childhood, government used to supply sunflower oil is a bit expensive, and we never heard about vegetable oil back in India. They used to supply oil called palm oil. They used to import from Malaysia, so it's a cheaper oil. Palm oil is used to generate the oil. So we used to use for the cooking purpose. So like that, when we think during the days of like Bible or the Palestine time, when we say the palm trees, related to the dates which it produces, they say that annually, per annum, it produces 300 pounds of dates, and it lives for 100 years, a palm tree, and it grows from 30 feet to 100 feet, sometimes 120 feet also. So this is about the palm tree. When we come back to the our scripture portion, why psalmist is comparing, like why he is comparing righteous with the palm tree, like the growth of a palm tree. I'll give you a few attributes or the characteristics of a palm tree. Then we'll go back to our scripture portion, try to understand what he is saying. So basically, a palm tree, where do you find the palm trees?
Desert.
Can you find any other tree in the desert? No, only the palm trees. So why you think palm trees grows in desert? Nowadays you can see the palm trees like a show one palm trees in the hotels, in front of the hotels and in the parks, you can see where there is no food. But if you go to the Gulf, you will see the palm trees, because the nature of the palm tree is they never like stop. When you plant the palm tree, it will go deep underneath the burning sand of the desert, and it will try to find the living waters where it can be nourished, or it will find the soil where it will get the moisture. Because of that, it grows in the desert. As a Christian, as you know, this world is a desert. There is nothing which can satisfy us. But Lord has put us in a palm tree in this desert. Our strength, as we read, in Christ alone, as we sang the song, Christ alone. So our roots are not in this world. We don't derive our strength, our stability, our hope from this world, neither from our job, neither from our property, neither from our family background, anything, but from the living waters. That is Christ Jesus. He is our strength. That's why when people see a Christian, they will be amazed. You have such a problems, and why still you are happy? Why still you behave like that? Because not our nature, but our strength, we derive it from the Christ. It's from the Christ. And also, they say that palm tree always grows upright, straight, and always it tends to look towards the sun. So if you plant it other way around also, what it will do, as it grows, it twists and tries to be look towards the sun. So when we are born again, what does it shows means? God will allow situations in our lives, trials, tribulations, and we have to twist ourselves, we have to humble ourselves and turn towards Him so that we may be see Him. That's why Hebrew writer encourages us, looking unto the Jesus. Looking unto the Jesus, not unto the worldly situations or situation around us, but looking unto the Jesus, so that we may go upright. We may go upright. And also they say that, and it's true that we read that Exodus 15 chapter, they find an oasis in desert, children of Israel. When you say oasis, they are given that 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So group of palm trees makes an oasis. So oasis is where you can go and you can find rest, you can relax in the desert, and you can find some water to drink, some shade to lay down and relax, and you will get refreshed. In this world, as you and me are palm trees, Lord has made us a palm trees, as a group of blood-bought children, we make a oasis, that's the church, where unbelievers will come and see, and they can be refreshed, and they can be see what the true life is. And also, when you go to oasis, you'll find under the shade of that palm trees, orange and lemon small trees will grow up. So in the congregation of church or in the believers, the weak people, weak believers, or the believers who are growing will find the strength and they will get encouraged. And what they'll say is, a palm tree grows better than alone. Like when it is more than one palm tree, they grow better than when they are alone. It's the same with the Christian life. Turn to me, Hebrews. When I was known Christ as my personal Savior, this verse always used to warn me or encourage me to be in the midst of the fellowship of God. Fourth chapter, Hebrews 4 chapter. First two verses, I'll read it for you. Hebrews 4 chapter, Hebrew Patrika, Nalvadya, Modhiti Rendvachanam. Hebrews 4 chapter, first two verses. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in them that heard it. So, a lot of them are heard about the gospel, but they haven't grown, they haven't come to the saving knowledge of Christ because they were not in midst or with the people, those who have believed. And the great man of God, John Wesley, says, a Christian cannot go to heaven alone. A Christian cannot go to heaven alone. Either he has to find one or make one. He has to find one or make one. So, we used to, like when we used to study, we used to go to a place, like when we were born again, we used to go to schools and the colleges, where we never find a believer, we used to get discouraged. then we got encouragement saying that you have to find a believer or make a believer to have a fellowship. It's not that we should completely cut off from the other friends, but we have to find a believer so that we have a fellowship. Or else if you can't find a one, make one. Pray and give gospel as Raj was sharing to his friends. Yeah, it's a joy and it's a Lord's burden so that along with us we may take some. Yeah, so these palm trees grow better when they are together than alone. And they form oases, they'll be refreshing to the others, and the small trees will grow in their shade. And other character of the palm trees, it's evergreen. It's evergreen. So it's summer, winter, any season. In scientific term, what you call, uncle? You know, perennial, some term will be there. Every deciduous tree. So anytime,
evergreen.
So the season doesn't matter. Whether it's a summer, or drought, or winter, heavy rain, storms, nothing. It's evergreen tree. It's evergreen. So as we saw, it's in the desert. So desert itself is growing itself is a big thing because its roots are deep down and attached to the moisture of the sand or the living waters. So when you find the palm tree, they say it is easily to find the spring of waters nearby. So they are more close. Their relation to the living water is so close that they remain evergreen. In our Christian life also, yeah, we should remain vibrant all the time. Sometimes we may, because of situation, we may go down. But when we drive our strength from our living water, should be able to be evergreen, vibrant for His work, for His ministry, for His service. So palm tree teaches us to be an evergreen. And also, not only evergreen, it says that like it bends but never breaks. Bends. If you see the palm tree, it's a tall tree, long tree. So if you want to scold a tall person in my country, they used to, you've grown up like in a palm tree, don't you have a sense? So they'll scold like that. Yeah. So when you go tall, it's more vulnerable to fall down, isn't it? But when storms come, when rains come, when sand storms come, you see, not many of the palm trees fall down. Do you know the reason? Roots are strong. That's the one reason.
The texture of the trunk is different from typical trees.
It takes shape.
Flexible.
The main reason is it has less branches. Less branches. Although roots are deep, less branches are there. When wind blows, it can't grab and hold the tree because it goes. So as we grow, we have to shed our unwanted leaves. There's a lesson it teaches us. So whatever the unwanted things Lord doesn't desire in our lives, as we grow in the Lord, as we walk in this life, we shed and we confess, and if we forsake that, whatever may be the storm, whatever may be the temptation, God will help us and it will make us to stand firm for the Lord. That's the lesson we can learn from the palm tree. So what are the lessons we learn from the palm trees? It grows in desert. It grows upright. Evergreen. It grows
towards the sun.
Yeah.
Roots are attached.
It grows better in group rather than alone. And one more thing is important. Like you can't graft a palm tree to palm tree. It will die. You can't graft it. So our identity is with the Christ. When you try to go back to the world, no, you can't say. You will die spiritually. So no man can serve the two masters. He has to serve the God or the devil. So that's the nature of the palm tree. So coming back, this is the little bit background about the palm tree. When we say it never breaks and bends, it stands firm all through the situations. So one lady was praying in the worship service like this: Lord, thank you for redeeming the people of Israel. And you didn't made them to walk over the waters or underneath the waters, but you made to walk them through the waters, through the waters. If Lord wants, he can make them to fly or move over or underneath the water, but he made them to walk through the waters. In our lives also, when we say Christians, it doesn't mean that our problems are less than compared to others, or our trials, tribulations, difficulties are less than that, nothing that, but it's a great assurance that he is with us in all those situations. He is with us. That's the assurance. So Ravi Zacharias tells us, for a Christian, a joy is central and all other things are peripheral. But for others, other things are difficulties are peripheral, joy is central and joy is peripheral. Means something happens, the joy goes out. For us, anything happens, our central point is joy, is the Christ. So still we have the joy in our life. So there's the assurance, there's the lesson we can learn from the palm tree. Coming back to our scripture portion, I'll close it soon. Psalm 92. So when you see the palm tree, or when you go to palm beach, you remember that we are tend to be an palm tree Christians. God wants us to be like a palm tree. That's why Psalm is compares us with the palm tree. Psalm 92. 12th verse, I'll read it again. Psalm 92, 12 and 13. Oh. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, is my rock, and there is no uprightness in him. Here we can see the fatness of the palm tree. He says that in 14th verse, they shall bring forth fruit in the old age, they shall be fat and flourishing. When you say fat, many of us, we are slim, obese society. Nobody wants to be fat and to be a fit and slim and trim. And we spend time and we spend money and we are worried about it. Right? During that time, the word for the fat, if you go back to the Old Testament or during the time of Moses, to understand the word of fat, God asked or put in a covenant or the offer sacrifices, animal sacrifices, so that they may come into the presence of God. When a person wants to come into the temple of God, he should offer sacrifice. When I say sacrifice, they have to slaughter the animal and they have to burn the animal. When I say burn the consumption of the animal, means they have to burn the fat of the animal. If you see the scriptures, he says, why God says the fat of the animal? Because it's the sign of richness or the wealthy or the prosperity. So important, a vital part of an animal. So which meets the requirement or the demands of the God. So after burning that, a priest will come and he will take the shawl and he will gather that burned ashes of that fat. So gathering of that ashes of that fat, they call it as an, they use a word called dasan. Dasan means the word, it's same word he used in the Psalm 23. Let's read in Psalm 23. Psalm 20, verse 20, chapter 20. 3. 20 Psalm, verse 3. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Here the word accept is the same word dasan, which is used in the Psalm 92. It's nothing but we are the accepted palm tree. Because of the sacrifice which Christ has made on the cross of Calvary, which met the righteous demand of God. We are not just palm trees, but we are the accepted palm trees. Are we still like namesake palm trees or accepted palm trees of the God. So that's the actual meaning of the fatness, or we are accepted by the God. And second word I want to mention is the flourish. You come across this word flourish in the four verses again and again. You'll be like, why is using the same again, repetitive again and again, telling the same thing again? It's not the same thing. In the English, there is no like a different words to explain the flourish, but in the Hebrew language, there are different words. When you say flourish, in the when we come across in 92, twelve. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. When he says that flourish, uses the word which root meaning is spring forth spontaneously. The same word used in the verse 7, he says that when the wicked springs as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is they that they shall be destroyed forever. In the same chapter, this spring forth spontaneously. That's the meaning it used. Not only that, if you and read it further in the 13th verse, they shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. Not only flourishing, it is abundantly growing. It's abundantly growing. So it's abundantly growing. And the other word is in the 14th verse, it is used fat and flourishing. Not only spontaneously we are spring forth, but luxuriously, abundantly we are growing. And if you see the 14th chapter, 13th and 14th chapter, it says that the palm tree is in the house of God. I'll read it. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. Do you understand? In the Old Testament time, when they say the house of the Lord, is the inner courts of the Lord. When they say the courts of the Lord is the outer court where Jews and other Gentiles can come into it. Moabites and Ammonites, they are not allowed, but other Gentiles, those who are bought with the price, like slaves, they can come in. So whereas the house of God is the inner court, only priests can. It was planted in the inner courts, but it came forth, it branched out to the outer courts, it reached out. Not only it's a spontaneous growth, it's continuous growth, but it branched out. One of the blessings like Joseph had in his life is, a branch
running over the wall.
Others has plucked the fruit and ate it. It was a blessing to others. It was a blessing to others. When we are planted in the house of the God, when we have that close relationship with the God, so when we say we are near to God, we are the children of God, are we branching out? Are we growing? Are we growing abundantly and branching out to others, or else it is a selfish growth? Are we restricting it to ourselves only? Are we branching out? So Lord is asking that question in our life. So if we are not branching out, we have to branch out so that others may have that fruit, enjoy that fruit, that we may be blessing to others. So, and the last thing is fruit. First one is fat, next one is flourishing, and the third one is the fruit. Why Lord has chosen us? Why Lord has chosen us, has given us His salvation?
Because I am a sinner.
Because of sinners? That we might bring forth fruit. Let's see John 15. John 15, 16th verse. Let's all read it together. John 15th chapter, 16th verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whosoever asks of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Here he says that I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and fruit that remain. Lord wants fruit in our lives. So we are Christians for a long time, maybe 5 years, maybe 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. So the question here is, where is the fruit? Are we bringing forth the fruit which Spirit of God wants to bring through our lives? So He has chosen us and He has ordained us. Don't think like get misunderstood with the fruit and the gifts. So if I preach well, it's not that it's an fruit. If I sing well, it's not a fruit. If I pray well, it's not a fruit. Fruit of Spirit is manifested in the Word of God. Let's read that fruit. Galatians. They are the gifts, like telling the Word of God is the gift of God which is given unto the church so that we may be established. Galatians. Let's read it all together. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. So these are the fruit of the Spirit. So Lord is encouraging us through His Word that we may bring forth fruit which brings glory and honor unto Him. And if we come back to our scripture portion, it says that they shall bring forth fruit in old age as we grow in the Lord. They say that the fruit of a palm tree, the old the tree is, the sweet the fruit will be. So as we are growing in the land, in the Lord, we should bring forth our fruit sweet. Is it sweet or the hard? We have to examine our life. Is it sweet or sour? What is our fruit like as we are growing in the Lord? So, Lord may help us to bring forth a sweet fruit unto Him. And the last verse, to show that the Lord, 15th verse, to show that the Lord is upright and He is the rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Why Lord is telling about the palm tree and the cedar tree and the righteousness? The ultimate purpose of the palm tree is to bring forth and to show forth that the Lord is upright. In the Amplified English version, it says that fat and flourishing trees are living memorial to show that the Lord is faithful and upright to His promise. So we are the living memorials. So when we say Australian Day, Indian Day, Republic Day, they go like nation leaders, they go to the place where soldiers, there's a memorial for them, they go and give honor and respect. So in the same way, our lives should be a memorial unto the Lord through the life which we live, through the life God has ordained us, chosen us. Lord, let allow the Spirit of God and the work of God in our hearts so that we may be a living memorial unto Him in the coming days. Thank you.